the Good Shepherd in a time of COVID-19. Today's focus on the Good Shepherd is certainly relevant, isn't it, for the present days in which we are living, especially as we link it to the lovely words of David in Psalm 23. Just to lead us into our thoughts this morning, I want you to have a look at a short clip that I came across during this past week that seems to tie in very well with our thoughts this morning. It's very short, so just be ready so that you don't miss it. What a lovely modern day picture that is, isn't it, of the Lord as a shepherd to us. We can run to him. We can sit right on his lap. Also the first bit of the sparrow that finds shelter and safety in a person's hand. Just as we can find safety and refuge in God's hand. Remember the words of Jesus, look at the sparrows, see how God cares for them. And are you not worth much more than many sparrows? And so I want to use the words of Psalm 23, and particularly their relevance for us in these days. The Lord is my shepherd. Sheep are some of the most vulnerable and defenseless of animals, aren't they? They're also not always the most intelligent. And so they need a shepherd to guide and to protect them. We two-legged creatures, on the other hand, generally have a rather inflated opinion of ourselves. We often see ourselves as quite self-sufficient, the masters of our fate, the captains of our soul, in the words of the poet. But I think this epidemic has reminded us that we are very vulnerable, that human life can be very fragile. We've been reminded that we are not the all-sufficient, all-knowing, all-powerful creatures that we sometimes think ourselves to be. And because of that, we need a shepherd. We need guidance and help from beyond ourselves, even though we may not always like to admit it. And people will look for that help and that guidance in different ways, in different places. For some, it may be their horoscope, or maybe the latest self-improvement book. For some, it may be a philosopher like Aristotle, or the philosophies of capitalism or Marxism. But nothing and no one comes close to the one who is the true answer, Jesus Christ. He knows what it is to live life on this earth. And he can lead us and guide us. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I'm the way to life in all its fullness. I'm the truth about what life is meant to be. I've come, said Jesus, to bring you life in all its fullness. And he can and he will lead us into that fullness of life. The question is, will we follow? We can only really call him our shepherd if we are following him as one of his sheep. The first recorded words of Jesus to Peter were, "Follow me." The last recorded words of Jesus to Peter were, "Follow me." We can only experience the benefits of having the shepherd if we are seeking to follow in his steps. All the wonderful promises of Psalm 23 are for those who are seeking to walk with him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or in more modern words, I have everything that I need. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, "I've learned to be satisfied with what I have. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret so that I'm content whether I have too much or too little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do you know from where it was that Paul wrote those words? He wrote them from a prison cell, from a situation of serious and long-term lockdown. The Good Shepherd will provide for his sheep, not necessarily all we want, but all that we need. Sometimes that provision will come through other people, within our families, within the church, within the community. That spiritual and emotional and material support that we all need. Rather like the members of the early church of whom we read in Acts, who rallied around, who supported and helped each other in their need. And we shouldn't be too proud to recognize the needs that we have, to accept the help of others, especially in these days. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Sheep receive the renewal and the restoration that they need from outward resources, water and green pastures. For us as human beings, outward things can contribute to our well-being. But for the full restoration of our souls, we need other resources. And most of all, we need the peace and the contentment that Jesus alone can bring us. In a storm-tossed boat on the Sea of Galilee, with the disciples at the end of their tether, Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves. "Peace," he said, "be still." Still water may be sufficient for sheep, but we need the one who can bring stillness to the surging waters and waves of our lives. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are with me." We may well feel that we walk through a valley of dark and threatening shadows at this time. It sometimes feels, doesn't it, that we are in the constant presence of a malevolent power. How do we respond? I'd like to suggest that we respond with these 10 words. "I will not be afraid, for you are with me. I will not be afraid, for you are with me." You are with me. Not just anybody. You, the Good Shepherd, the Lord of hosts, the Alpha and the Omega, the resurrection and the life, the one who himself has passed through that valley of death and emerged alive on the other side. And so we have nothing to fear as we walk through a dark valley, even if it be the valley of death itself. For you are with me. You are with me. That is your promise, your guarantee. You are Emmanuel, God with us. I heard somewhere that the words, "Do not be afraid, I am with you," or words to that effect, appear 365 times in the pages of the Bible, one for each day of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if there are 366 just to cover the leap years as well. You are with me. And also you are with me, even me. And not only when I am good, not only when I am full of faith, not only when I sense your presence. He is with you and me, unworthy, undeserving as we are. He is with us, not because we have earned that in any way, not because of any good in us, but because of his great goodness and mercy and grace. I read of a little boy who, when he was scared at night, would go into his parents' bedroom, as children often do. This little boy in the darkness would lie down next to his father, and he would say, "Father, is your face turned towards me?" "Yes, my father, yes, my son," the father would reply, "my face is turned toward you." We too have a father whose face is turned towards you and me. You are with me. You are with me. You are with me, even me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. He prepares a table of plenty, no shortages or rationing here. The table spread not with physical food, but with spiritual food, the fruit of the Spirit, fruit much in need during these days. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, humility, faithfulness, self-control. A whole smorgasbord of good things prepared for us, available to us and through us by the Spirit of God within us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word for follow here is really more in the sense of pursue. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me. He is the very hound of heaven, as Francis Thompson said in his poem. The hound of heaven who continues to pursue us, never letting us go, never letting us down, never giving up on us. And so we can dwell safely in the house of the Lord, the house of his presence, in these days, throughout our earthly life, and ultimately with him in that home, in the very presence of the Good Shepherd himself. The Lord is my shepherd. May he help us to follow faithfully. Amen.